and gents, time for the crime report sponsored by the Crime Stoppers Suffolk, 1-800-220-TIPS. 220-8477, that's where all calls are kept confidential, and a monetary reward of up to $5,000 issued for info that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacklin, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor. And John Jay College, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, number 3 on the edition list. Joe, a highly decorated member in his day of the NYPD, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
Good to have you aboard, my friend. We got a lot happening, so let's get right to it. You got a criminal investigation now going on. You got the U.S. Attorney's Office out of Brooklyn. You have the FBI. I'm talking Governor Andrew Cuomo and this administration, Joe. It's been a hot week regarding this stuff, regarding the nursing home deaths. You saw the Tish James report about 3 weeks ago, 22 days to be exact, coming out on the undercounting of deaths by 50%. You had the conversation leaked to the New York Post. We had Bernadette Hogan on a week and a half ago regarding that stuff. Melissa DeRosa comments, they hid. They were afraid of the federal investigation, the DOJ, and everything else. The governor dancing around all week, clashing with an assemblyman. It is getting hot and heavy right now up in Albany. Give me your take, sir.
Yeah, no, I was a little bit surprised about how fast this is actually happening right now. I mean, as soon as when you hear the FBI is getting involved, and you know what? We have been, you know, critical of Tish James at times, but here she's going against her boss. So you have to give her credit for that. I mean, there's just no way around that. She is really leading the charge here. And this is what happens when you have whistleblowers. I'm surprised they're not talking about the people coming out of the Cuomo administration telling us what's going on as whistleblowers, but they really are.
No doubt about it. Serious stuff. It really is. And it's moving quickly. You know, it's not something that's, going to be put under the rug here. It is hot and heavy. You know, you saw the governor's demeanor all week. He's getting a little antsy. He's fighting now within. Democrats are switching sides here. I mean, listen, so much for an Emmy and a best-selling novel, you know? I mean, and who knows, maybe an Oscar down the road. But quite frankly, awards could be revoked as well. So, listen, it's Joe, all he had to do was apologize. If you admit mistakes, own it, you know? I mean, I've been saying this all along. I watched those briefings. He didn't know what was going on. Listen, they covered it up. There's no question. And they lied. And they didn't get the legislature involved. That's why Ron Kim was going at it with him. Then the governor makes a call during the week threatening Kim, allegedly. Even de Blasio. I mean, everybody's going against the governor. Even de Blasio is on the side of Ron Kim. I mean, it's getting hot and heavy, man. It's getting hot and heavy. We'll see what happens.
Well, this might be like an unprecedented thing where just everybody's just ganging up. It's actually unreal to watch this whole thing unfold. But like you said, yeah, he could have come out and just told the truth. But you know what? He wrote a book and before this was over. And you know what? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if sections of that book, I haven't read it. I'm sure that there's some sections in there that addresses the nursing home thing. So it's going to be interesting to see if that book comes back and haunts him.
No doubt about it. And we'll see. You know, I was thinking about Elliot Spitzer in 08. Remember that whole Elliot Spitzer escort debacle? Articles of impeachment were being ready for Elliot Spitzer. He resigned, Joe. You remember that very well.
Oh, I remember that. Yep.
What a mess that was. And that was, this guy's up for re-election next year. So, you know, an investigation is not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to take quite some time. They're going to gather a lot here, but you got all sides that now going at it here. We shall see. Joe Jacklin, of course, the crime report. You got police reform now happening all over the place. On the island, I know Nassau County, Laura Curran got a 310-page report ready. Transparency, body cameras, Joe. You know, the governor, you know, he wanted things in place by April, and now everybody's kind of scurrying around to do their part here. Have you had any chance to look over? I mean, it's not anything out of the ordinary here.
No, and actually, you know what, there's a number of things that aren't really bad. Like the body cams, listen, I've been a supporter of them for a long time, and because it always, they always seem to show how bad the public acts in a lot of these things. And you know what? It has saved a lot of careers already for police officers throughout the country. So I'm a fan of the body cams. You know, the transparency thing? Yeah, no, you have to be more transparent. But you know what? The public also has to understand that you can't release a body cam video immediately. I mean, there's an investigation that goes on, especially in an officer-involved shooting. There's a lot of working parts there. There's a lot of people that are lining up ready to give out lawsuits. And you have to make sure your I's are dotted and T's are crossed, because during an investigation, things change pretty rapidly. So you don't want to come out as the police chief and say, all right, here it is, and then I have to backtrack something down the road. So I don't see those issues as being bad. But you know what, though, Jay? A lot of people have somewhere, and I'm looking for it, but there's nowhere that I see the word reform and word good as synonyms, right? They're not always good reforms. So we're going to see how this plays out. New York City has a much tougher time than Nassau and Suffolk does. I mean, they put out 11 bills for the mayor's signature. One of them is the getting rid of qualified immunity, which is the, you know, allows people now to sue the cops civilly, personally, go after them. So, I mean, talk about some real draconian things coming out. New York City is where that's at.
No doubt about it. You know, listen, the body cams, well needed, can't hurt, can only help police officers, Joe, no question. Because there's always backlash of what happened prior, and with a body camera, of course, it kind of solidifies the actions of enforcement as they encounter some tough situations, no question about it. Joe, I don't know if you caught this. The mother of a carjacking suspect whom Nassau police fatally shot in Queens, filing a civil rights lawsuit against the county's police department and alleges police opened fire on this 19-year-old without reason after approaching him in his car while he was unarmed. This complaint, you know, this Matthew Felix case was a victim of racial profiling and excessive force. And it seeks a trial now and some monetary damages for his wrongful death last February near his home in Cambria Heights there. You know, again, this is where cameras would kind of come in handy, Joe, you know?
Well, it might be. Letitia James has weighed in on this. The issue that comes down to is that you know, we don't know all of the facts here. So when people talk about the transparency and everything else, what's going on is this is where we're, you know, we're headed. So, I mean, cameras were definitely put in perspective what exactly transpired here. The audio, the video, it gives people the chance. I mean, there's been a lot of times where people have, you know, screamed like, oh, the police executed this man. And then you get the video and you watch it and you're like, Well, there, that's not exactly what the people are saying that happened. Like everything else, you know what? When you don't come out with the information, people start filling in the blanks. They start speculating. They start doing things, you know, talk a cover up and everything like that. So that's why these cameras have to go out, because when you have situations that just are not clear cut, this is exactly what happens.
Sarge here with the crime report. Joe, you have a New York City police officer from Williston Park. He was charged with being an agent of the People's Republic of China. He was released on bond, $2 million, by the way, from a federal jail. He had contracted the coronavirus. This Bamjiang Wang, natural citizen, by the way, from Tibet. He had been held in the detention center in Brooklyn since being arrested. What was it, about 4 months ago? So, you know, interesting happening here. A lot of people, you know, have been advocating for individuals to be released from jail based on COVID here. But this was a very, this still is a very highly touted case here. You know, the guy from Williston Park now, and, you know, that's serious stuff, though, being an agent as far as the People's Republic of China was concerned.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, listen, infiltration is probably the most feared thing out of any law enforcement agency, whether it's local, whether it's state, or, of course, federal. So this is a really important case, because you have to figure out what exactly transpired in the background investigation and what happened. Of course, you know, China has been denying any of this and calling it pure fabrication. But my thing is that if China is commenting about this case, there probably is something a little bit more to it, right? Because why just, you know, this guy is just seems to be like an ordinary citizen, and all of a sudden now this is a huge international case. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I hate to see this guy disappear now that he's out, but we'll see.
No doubt about it. Joe, finally, you have a 70-year-old now facing charges. Police said he struck the superstar rapper Nicki Minaj's father last week. Happened in Mineola. And he left the guy to die. And he hit his car in somebody's garage. But Charles Polovich from Mineola, you know, they walked him into headquarters during the week. Handcuffs, virtual arraignment there. Leaving the scene of a fatal crash, you can never do. Never leave the scene of any crash. And then, to boot, you tamper with the evidence, putting the car in somebody else's garage. You know what? Robert Mirage, the situation when he died last week, but Charles Polovich is in a heap of trouble here.
Well, yeah, and absolutely. And actually, there's a statement made that he actually got out of the car, looked at the victim, and then got back in the car and drove away, which makes it even worse. So, I mean, talk about heartless at that point. He's got a lot of problems ahead of him.
And we say it all the time, folks. You know what? You must never, never leave the scene, no matter what. No matter what. And especially now with a fatality in place here. Joe Jacklin with the crime report. Joe, we talked about reform and everything else. Southampton doing their part. They've been under some scrutinization as well, but Southampton obviously is getting underway. You have Steve Skronecki there, who's leading the way out there. But, you know, again, instituting this department-wide body cam program, increasing diversity among enforcement staff. Those are some of the recommendations to improve the town police department out there. And, you know, again, it's all part of state-mandated reform, the process itself from the governor when he ordered this back in July.
Right. No, and I don't know if a lot of people even realize that when he ordered it, they had to get it done by April. And if not, they get basically defunded, right? They won't get state funds for doing this. So this is where things become dangerous, because they implement reforms in a short period of time that may not be good, or may not be good for the, not only, you know, of course, the cops. And people say, well, Joe, you're going to always say that, but it's not going to be, if it's not good for the cops, it's not going to be good for the public either. So that's where you have to look at these things. I know a lot of people push back on reforms. Like I said, some of them are good, but I think putting this many things in place in a short period of time only spells trouble down the road.
No question about it. Joe, a couple of cases here. One, you have a guy from Stony Brook charged with burglarizing 10 businesses last year. This Michael Parisi, and he was caught red-handed, where you had a canine section officer and his canine partner, by the way, on patrol. And they spotted him red-handed breaking the glass door of a Subway shop in Stony Brook about 1:30 in the morning there. So they got their guy. When it was all said and done, this was a guy who was responsible, all in Stony Brook, by the way, all these businesses broken into. So, you know, right place, right time, Joe.
Yep, no, and he only targeted eateries, right? So they were all like, there was bagel shops, there was, you know, the Subways. It was unbelievable. But what was funny is that when Suffolk County Police Department put out the picture of the dog on their Twitter feed, I thought it was kind of funny. But, yeah, so like, there's 10 burglaries. And you know what? They don't make any mention if there was any, what, you know, why he was doing this. Other, you know, was it drugs related, meaning that he was, you know, is this part of the heroin epidemic? I mean, there's a lot of different working parts here, but hopefully we find out a little bit more as this case goes on. Because if he did 10, he probably did a lot more.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it, you know, goes back all the way into November. So he has been, he has been out and about in that neck of the woods without question. Joe, a very important case with ramifications. And Amy Cooper, remember her, the white woman arrested last year? She called police on a bird watcher, black bird watcher in New York Central Park, had her case thrown out. She completed some sort of a diversionary counseling program that prosecutors said was meant to educate her on the harm of her actions here. What was your take on that, that woman?
Well, the gentleman that she accused, he refused to prosecute. I mean, that came out really from the beginning. So I give that gentleman a lot of credit for not wanting to take this to the next level. But I've seen a couple of things that would disturb me, like, you know, the Amy Cooper's lawyer is saying that she might bring lawsuits now after the charges. With the, you know what? Go away, right? You embarrass yourself. You got yourself arrested. You got the man that you accused doesn't want to prosecute. Now just go away quietly. I don't understand why they want to make a fuss now with anything. I mean, just, you know, stop.
I mean, the woman obviously has problems, emotional problems, and everything else. It's time that she just disappear. You're right, 100%. Go on with your life. You got lucky here, okay? You completed a program. Hopefully, you'll be a better person because of your troubles that you're having internally with yourself. And that's all you could ask, you know, because we have seen far too many of that stuff, too much of that stuff going on. Interesting here, Joe, early in the week, reports of child abuse and neglect dropped by 15% here on the island in 2020. More kids were away from the school buildings, adults who could recognize the signs of abuse. Latest data, child welfare advocates coming in here with Nassau County CPS, Child Protective Services, received nearly 1,500 fewer calls last year compared with 2019. And in Suffolk, you had 1,000 fewer reports of abuse and neglect in 2020. Interesting there, huh? So, you know, again, kids staying away from school, organized sports, clubs, sometimes medical appointments, whatever, because of this pandemic there. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a terrible situation, actually, when you think about it, because kids who are being abused are with their abusers now all day long, and nobody is there to recognize the signs of it and, you know, notify authority. Now, not every time do they notify the authorities that it turned out to be child abuse, but there are many of them that are. So, I mean, it's a scary thought. I mean, you think about even domestic violence. All the other things that come about from because of these lockdowns become a major problem. And it's not, and they're handling, the media and the police departments are handling this the right way. They're not celebrating that things are down because they understand why things are down. They're not down because people are doing a better job parenting. It's they're down because kids aren't out there into, you know, where quote-unquote strangers, the teachers, the nurses, and everybody else who can then let authorities know what's happening. So it's a really frightening statistic.
Not only that, I think all, you know, with the microscope even more so on the CPS because of the Thomas Valva case, Joe, the 8-year-old who was forced to sleep in an unheated garage, 19 degrees a year ago, January, passed away, hypothermia. Now every move is being watched, you see. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of spotlight now on this stuff. So keep that in mind as well. So very, very interesting numbers there. And Joe, I'll end it with this. You know, as well as anyone, this Dennis Wusterhauf case, I think it was a $30,000 reward now coming into play here. This is the reward to help find the person for killing Suffolk County police officer. We're talking about 31 years ago, Joe, $30,000 or so for the Wusterhauf family. Dennis Wusterhauf was working undercover in narcotics at the time, killed by a car bomb February 1990. Yeah. Got his car in North Patchogue. The bomb went off. No one was ever arrested in this case. And now his kids with his widow, they're fed up here. You know, I mean, there comes a point in time you have to have some movement here, Joe. And this was a tough case.
You know, I remember reading that story and hearing about it and reading in the Newsday way back when. This was an awful case. And I am sure they have a list of suspects like everything else. You know, when I worked in these cold cases, you always had the suspects. You always kind of figured out who is responsible, but you need the evidence. You need somebody to fingerpoint. So this is why it comes out around the anniversary dates and, you know, push out there with the money and hopefully they can get an anonymous tip to help them solve this case. But Yeah, no, I can't imagine how the family feels. And you know what? I give credit for the Suffolk County Police Department putting this out there again, too. But they need to put it out a lot longer. I mean, many of us had forgotten about the case, including myself. So they need to keep this out there in the spotlight.
No question. And that's why Crime Stoppers is so important with the TIPS hotline. 1-800-220-TIPS, 220-8477. You got a $30,000 reward on this, please. Anybody who could provide some very important information here, call that number. It's anonymous and everything else. Joe Jacklow, the Sarge, the Crime Report. Joe, stay well, stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
You too.
Thank you, my friend.